I needed to switch my mindset from like, listen, I got people that count on me now. My guys have families. I need to switch my thinking, my mindset around. I'm no longer a hammer swinger.
You take it over in the COVID era, and that business had never broke $1 million in annual revenue.
No, I think just shy of 900,000 was our...
The biggest year.
Was ever. Our biggest year, yeah.
And when I met Sean, which was in 21?
21, yeah.
There had still not been a $1 million year, and I'm certainly not taking credit for your first $1 million year being the year that we met, but that was in 21, correct?
It was 21, yeah.
And you did like or something like that, right?
You can't live the life of a millionaire before you are one. If you're going to do it, then you might as well have everything be authentic, right? It can't be for show.
How you feeling?
Good, man. Aside from the Steelers getting their asses kicked.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about it. It was embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing, but thank you
for
the tickets.
I'm excited to bring you to your first Steelers game. It's a Monday night football playoff game.
Tomlin undefeated on Monday night.
Steelers undefeated on Monday night since 91, and we get mollywopped.
And I called 27-7, and it was
30-6 in the other direction.
Yeah, the other direction.
Thanks a lot for that.
You're welcome, brother.
False sense of hope.
Welcome to this week's episode of No Suits Allowed. I'm your host, Connor Rodich, and I'm extremely excited for today's episode. This is a dear friend of mine and someone that I have had the pleasure of working with for the last several years. His name's Sean Whalen, Whalen Exteriors, out of the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania market. And beyond the relationship of consulting and, you know, client, friends, all the things, Sean just has a really good business, has a really good heart for the work that he does, and has a ton of entrepreneurial and business leader experience, and kind of has a unique story that is really different from what you hear out of the mainstream, you know, hey, quickly ascending to success, making all the money and all the profit, but going through essentially many years of the grind of working through a generational business,
Yeah. Learning
it from the ground up, and then being in a position where he's able to really now catapult the business into heights that it's never been before, and even probably beyond the thoughts and dreams that he ever thought were possible. So I'm really excited for this episode. And if you haven't already, please like, subscribe on the content that we're producing here. Please share it out to an entrepreneur or business leader that you feel like could really use the information, the content that we're sharing here, as this is one of those stories that will probably encourage somebody that you might know. And it's just a pleasure to sit down with Sean. We're like brothers. He's like a brother to me. We've been through the last four years together.
Yeah, a little over 4 years.
Yeah, seeing his progression. And I'll let you kick it off and just let you share a little about yourself, and then we'll kind of go into it. And we're going to have some fun with this episode because we're fun guys. Yeah. No. So I'll let Sean kick it off, and then we'll get into some questions and kind of hear his story a little bit about what it's all about, to hear about No Suits Allowed and hear the raw and unfiltered stories. So go ahead and take it, brother.
Well, thanks for everything you said, dude. Thanks for having me here. Likewise, you're a friend. Love you like a brother. Start from the top,
beginning, and you know, you can go back as far as you want in terms of, I guess, your story and what you feel like is important to share.
Okay. Yeah. Grew up in the trades. Generational business. I'm second generation owner. My dad started this in 1982. It was kind of like a side gig. He was a union carpenter and, you know, just banging out decks and roofs and things like that on the weekends, like a weekend warrior, just to make extra ching. I grew up just constantly just around it, wanted to do it. It's all I ever wanted to do. I'd be sitting in school, couldn't wait to get out and work with him. And he kind of like, both my parents actually, you know, he didn't want this life for me because his body was falling apart. And he made a great living, but it beats you up, right? Yeah. And he just thought that if I followed suit, I wouldn't be living up to my potential. But I'm not like a sit behind a desk. I mean, you know that from working with me, dude.
But you are better than a lot. There are a lot better than a lot of entrepreneurs. You're like, yeah, but you're better about it than most. I'll give you credit for that. Because a lot of guys can't sit still for more than 5 seconds before they get
up. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think I knew that was the steps that I needed to take to get where I wanted to be or where I thought I was capable of being. But that being said, never wanted me to follow in his footsteps, like just wanted more for me, wanted an easier life, whatever that means, you know? So pushed me to go to college 1 year, and that was it. I was like, I can't. It's not like I'm not going to be a pharmaceutical salesman or anything. No disrespect, but that's just not who I was. So I followed suit, got into the Carpenters Union and worked with him in the side, in our family business on the side, doing same thing, roofs, weekends, nights and weekends, roofs, decks, all that stuff. And then I decided to take it full time in like 2012, 13-ish. And we did everything, GC, you know, decks, additions, kitchens, bathrooms, basements, all that stuff. And then really around the time that I got started working with you was when I was like, I need to like really like focus on what makes us the most money, and niched it down to roofing and exteriors. And here we are.
Yeah. You were doing everything. And there's a handful of things I want to mention first that, and I know I'm kind of asking a lot to explain your whole life story, and you're not one to be just on podcasts and speaking on stage all the time, you know. You're a professional, you know. I'm just kidding. Yeah. But the things that are worth bringing up, just like some stuff you skimmed over, like one, your dad had been in the trades for a long time. You worked underneath him. You know, you learned the path, the way of swinging hammers yourself, right? I know you kind of mentioned a little bit of that, but like truly out there swinging it yourself, doing it all, right?
Yeah.
Then going through that process of where you took over your dad's business, which you didn't mention. You took it over in what year?
2020, man. March 1st, 2020, a week before the world shut down.
An ideal time.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. And so you take it over in the COVID era, and that business had never broke $1 million in annual revenue.
No, I think just shy of 900,000 was our...
The biggest year
ever. Was our biggest year, yeah.
And when I met Sean, which was in 21?
21, yeah.
There had still not been $1 million year, and I'm certainly not taking credit for your first $1 million year being the year that we met, but that was in 21, correct?
That was 21, yeah.
And you did like 1.2 or something like that, right?
Am I correct? Yeah, it's pretty close, yeah.
And so the business had been in existence, and this is the point I wanted to make, for how many years previous to that $1 million barrier being broke?
39 years.
And so for those of you that are watching or hearing the stories of, you know, what the patience of entrepreneurship or the things, because I'm not that person. I've had to learn that type of patience of like sticking in it and, you know, really grinding it out and doing the time and making the commitment to a mission and what I'm trying to accomplish. One thing that you left out is like 39 years of not having $1 million year, and then that happening, and now the business has last year performed and then $13 million.
Yeah.
So
$13 million.
And that's one of the things that I wanted to hit on, and we'll get into that a little bit of that today as I ask you some questions. But I think the first thing is, you know, you took it over. You and your dad still share that, you know, you share that equity partnership. I know you guys are, you know, you're working to kind of almost retire him. I mean, yeah. I know he's already retired in a way, like semi-retired, but like, hey, he wants to move to Florida and like, you're going to take care of Pops and like, you know, his duty and his contribution to the business as you see it is kind of like, it's like, he's laid the path, right? He put the work forward. He was the one that put this all together to start. And so therefore, like, now it's my time to take over, right? And that's kind of been the idea of it, at least from my perspective. So
yeah, I mean, that's pretty spot on. Like, not to take anything away from what he did, like, because no. I inherited a good name, right? A good reputation. And most importantly, in my eyes, like, just a unmatched work ethic, man. Like, it was instilled in me from a young, like, you're going to earn whatever comes your way. Nobody's giving you anything, right? So I took that mentality and all the tools that he taught me from learning from the ground up. Like, so I'm up from a production background, you know what I mean? I had to learn everything. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn everything else. But, like, what he gave me was a fundamental understanding of the actual effort that it's going to take to achieve anything that you actually want in your life. Like, anything that's worth doing is not easy, man. And, like I said, I don't want to take anything away from him, but it was just like an antiquated way of doing things. You know what I mean? Pen and paper, mm-hmm. no bookkeeping system, advertising in the newspaper, like, you know, just things that were needed a fresh perspective. And I was able to do that, and thank him for trusting me and trusting his legacy and handing it over to me. Right. And I think he's pretty happy about where it's been.
Yeah. So I want to get into that and kind of ask you some questions around what do you feel like were some of those levers to pull, right? That have really changed the game for you. But before I ask you that question, I first want to end by saying you are, and I've said this many of times off camera to many people, but first time on camera because I'm talking with you and about you, that you're one of those guys that from the pleasure of working with you, obviously it's been a pleasure to work with you and it's been a great, you know, relationship that we've had. But you are like one of the minority few individuals that have actually like taken the information and implemented it in the business and tried to be the guy that's like, I'm going to learn this because I need to learn this. I have to learn this no matter how much it might drive you crazy to sit in the room, you know, sit in the boardroom for 6 hours and whatever, you know. And that's the part where I think like I give you a lot of credit and you deserve a lot of recognition and credit that many guys don't do that. And you have been willing to do that, which is big kudos to you. And for, to the listener that is listening to this, I think that's that for me, before I ask you all the questions here on this podcast, is like, that's the biggest thing I think that you differentiate yourself from others in the marketplace that I work in terms of having a relationship directly with a contractor or working with someone like you, is that you take the information, not that I'm, you know, not that like we're always right. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you take the information in and you really deploy it and you're like a student of the game. Whereas most people, they want to play in the game. They want to be the all-star of the game, but they really don't know all the facets of the game. And I think that's one of the things that I've said many times to you, that it's, I think that's what's established you to be different in your approach and your ability to be able to be an exceptional entrepreneur and grow things intentionally and be that you went 39 years before breaking a million. And, you know, one of the things that you still hold is a very strong principle to like watch your money and be frugal and like, you know, you're not, you know, and those are things that I would say like that's uncommon, you know what I mean? So kudos to you. But I just wanted to say that to start that like for those listening, that's like some of the trademark characteristics that you have that I think are different than many and most people. Especially people in trades, like, cause this podcast isn't trade specific. This is for any industry, the concept of this show is to, you know, pull back the veil and take off the mask of what is actually happening in your life and like get real about the dark times, the hard times, the obstacles. And some of those things I'm gonna ask you today.
Yeah.
But I think the common theme that here has been, for me, is like kind of the unrelenting characteristic of you is that you are like very intentional about learning it, implementing it, continuing to be a student of the game. And like, those are not things you run into all every day. So what are I know you're probably just gonna say thank you, but I mean, do you have any thoughts or adding thoughts to that?
No, I mean, I think it's just discipline, man. It's just discipline. I have focused on a goal. I know where I want to be. I know what I think I'm capable of, and I believe in myself, right? So what I don't know, I want to know. And if it's beyond me, then I'm going to bring in some help. Like, I'm not too – it's discipline, and it's humility, and it's knowing when you don't have all the answers, right? Because nobody does. And it's humbling yourself enough to know that you don't have all the answers and finding those that do and being willing to learn from them. I think that's what it is. And then as far as like being frugal and everything like that goes, like, dude, when you work your tail off for something, it's, you can't just let it evaporate. Like, for what do I need? A new truck? No, I don't. No, I need to, like, I've worked this hard to just invest more into the future and into my company. And that's just like, I mean, that's just how I approach pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's good. So let's start asking questions. So tell me, I'm going to ask you, when you look back at the last several years and you consider what all you've done and some of the things you might have implemented along the way, what do you feel like are the, and I understand that like we've had conversations about, you know, implementing the things that we've worked on together. Okay, like those things, you could bring that stuff up. I'm saying like, I'm talking about more of the things that you either did personally or professionally or both that have really flipped the switch for you and allowed you to reach the goals that you're talking about.
Well, I think number one, and I touched on it last, I think number one is like realizing that, you all right?
Dropping my water.
You all right?
I didn't want to have the old like, I can't, you know, so, all right, but there we go.
But anyways, I think number one is knowing what you don't know, right? And finding people that do and making sure they're a good fit. Like, and, you know, I know this is, you don't want this to be about you or whatever, but I've reached, I worked with other coaches, consultants or whatever, and it just wasn't really, like, I wasn't learning from them. It wasn't practical, or it was just kind of throw crap at a wall and see what sticks. But I think that's number one. And then number two, taking that information and putting it to practice, dude. It is no good if you just, you know, if you have all the fancy spreadsheets and trackers and everything in the world, if you don't use them, then it's no good for you. Like a fancy SOP manual is no good if it's a coaster, right? Yep. Like you have to put, you're like, you're paying for it. If you do go the route of hiring a professional or going to school and learning whatever, if trade, you know, whatever, if you don't put it into practice, then it's absolutely no good to you. So I think from me, it was learning from others that know more than I do, right? And then implementing the information that they give you. And like you said before, it's not all going to be right, right? But you don't know if it's right until you actually put it into practice and test it. Like, hey, this is working well. This over here, can we try this a little bit? And then, you know, and just being willing to fail. Like really not being afraid to like take that step and bet on yourself and then be fail. Because you're going to make mistakes, right? A lot of them.
Yeah. We've even in our meetings today and over the last couple of days, we've been like, hey, we don't know how it's going to work out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that's unique about the strategy is it's like, you know, we're going to try things. It's going to be very educated, but we have to test it, try it, see if it's going to work.
Absolutely.
And then revamp it and retest it. You know what I mean? So do you feel like there's anything on the monetary side of things that like you've been very intentional about to like, hey, I know like you've expanded greatly since I met you, like obviously the new building, which you, I mean, just like in general, your philosophy of money or your financial philosophy about things, you could share that. But I guess just like in general, like what were the steps that you took and how do you feel like, you know, like what's some strong recommendations you can give for people that are looking to do stuff?
I think number one, what you always preached and what everybody preaches, right? And like, hearing it and then actually understanding it are two different things, but you need to know your numbers. Like you need to, right? And they're constantly, it's not like a set it and forget it thing. Like, you know, what we've been working through the past couple, like you're constantly watching it, right? And as things change and as you reach periods of growth or dips or whatever, you need to be able to adjust and you need to be, I don't know, like if humble's the right word, but you need to be, you can't let your pride or your ego get in the way. Like flashy doesn't get you anywhere, dude. Like you need to be able to make hard decisions and make changes when it happens. And, you know, and that works both ways. Like, do you need to expand? Like, are you in a period of growth? Like we were this last year where I needed to add trucks to the road. I needed to hire employees. Right. And then if we're coming into a leaner time or whatever, do I need to downsize? Do I need to have hard conversations with people? Like you always have to keep an eye on your money. Like you always do. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. As far as that goes. And then like personally, dude, I work hard for my money, so I'm not just giving it away.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has kind of their, you know, a lot of type people have personal vices or whatever, but you really are. You're like, I mean, you're like, you watch the money in, be a good steward of it. I think a lot of guys, you know, you say the type of track record that you've had with, getting in the business, you said in 2012, is that right?
Yeah. 2012 was about, it was when I quit the Carpenters Union and decided to take this full time.
I mean, we're filming this in 26. So, yeah. So, I mean, 14 years in and you're in a position where you're just now starting to reap some of the like real financial benefits of things and obviously still doing high level of reinvesting and all the things you should do. But I mean, you're just now starting to see kind of that like, and a lot of guys get ahead of themselves, right? And a lot of guys build it too fast. And that's one of the things I wanted to say too is, you know, when we've gotten to know each other, I think one of the principles that I've learned even from you and my experience of being an entrepreneur and going through my own learning curves is that, you know, there's never a shortcut. And if there is a shortcut, it's probably going to be a short-lived shortcut, right? And I think being around you every time I get in your presence and we talk about things and I think about like, man, how many years have gone by that have been like very minimal profit years for you guys of barely getting by, but always watching the money. And then in the process, you know, construction loans, buy the right piece of real estate to build your new office and then build it, and then build it in a way where it's not like over the top, but it's economical, but nice. And then expanding now and then making things nicer. And like, it's all been right sized for the business is what I say. Like, you know what I mean? It's all been in like the timing of what the business can actually do versus getting ahead of yourself and trying to like build it and then they'll come. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. So what are your thoughts on that? And like, do you feel like there's anything more to add in terms of just the way you approach that? Or do you feel that that's kind of just been natural and more organic because you just have that philosophy of like, I'm not going to go chasing or overspending, or I mean, like some of the principles you just live by?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like it was like some Zen 14 years and I'm a monk and I was just patiently waiting. Dude, there was times where I was stressful, you know,
which I want to hit on that next.
So, stressed out, or I was like, that, you know, getting down on myself or whatever, you know, letting the inner wimp win the conversations, you know what I mean? But I just think, because I came from the production side of things or trades background, right, or you know, the craft of the business that I run, I always was of the mindset of where, like, I need to make sure that the fundamentals are
in place,
and are solid, so that I can fulfill, you know what I mean? So I can keep the promises that sales makes, right? So I always focus, and you know this, I always focused on, let's make sure we can honor all our commitments at the level that I want to honor them at, right? So produce work in my situation, at a level that I can be proud of.
Yeah.
And then add on, okay, we got this figured out. Let's figure out our marketing. All right. Marketing's working. Now we got to figure out our sales. And it's always kind of like, you know, it's always revolving, right? One's always chasing the other. But like for me, that was most important. And even like when we first started working together, I told you that, and you were like, dude, that's how you got to do it.
Yep.
Right. That's sustainable.
Yep.
And that's just how I approached it all. And then if I wouldn't have done that and we had the year that we had last year, I wouldn't have been able to capitalize on it. It would have been sloppy and it would have probably broke us. But fortunate that, you know, that's the mindset that I have and that I actually followed the advice of yourself and other people that, you know, have mentored me.
Still a big like stretch year last year, obviously, but it was at least a way where it could be monetarily beneficial for those that put in the hard work. The entire team made out good. Now we step into another year of, you know, okay, what is, you know, we're going to try some things obviously, but then build more on the basis of, you know, human capital, getting a larger sales team in place, but not overgrowing it. You know what I mean? We've talked about all that stuff. So again, it's just more of like one foot in front of the other, doing things in a size, like making sure that it always fits the business and it's right sized for the business. I always use the term, you know, playing house, and you've never been caught playing house as far as I can see. Like you've never been caught with like all the trucks and all the stuff and all the things and then trying to like just make it look like Waylon's doing so good and then have it all come crumbling down on you. I do want to talk about some of the stressful years because I want to talk about those that just the perseverance and the way that you had to go about that, because I do know that there were years where, I mean, I'm not going to get into the P&L. That's not for broadcast. It was good last year, though.
Yeah.
although we don't need the tax people to hear that either. No. IRS, you stay away. But no, I mean, it's been tight in many years, right? Or it's been, you know, -1, -2, and then bounce back the next year. I mean, you've had that, like, where it's been really tight for some of those years. Never been in a position where it's catapulted or capsized the business, right? Or excuse me, never capsized the business in a position where you've, like, made some stupid decision. But no, I mean, just speak to some of the, I guess, what was for you the strongest challenge in that 12 to 15 year period? I mean,
in those leaner times, dude, there's so many. I would say making the decision when during lean years, making the decision to niche down to what we did the best and what was most profitable for us was tough, because it's hard to say no when there's not a lot to say yes to, right? So that was a rough decision, and that kept me up nights and added several gray hairs to my head.
What do you think is the I want you to keep going on the list, but just talking about that specifically and niching down, obviously you would do it 100 times over again now.
Oh yeah.
But what do you feel like is the what do you feel like was the biggest learning lesson in that time frame just around niching specifically for you?
Well, one thing that was apparent like right away was like systems and processes are way easier to build and implement for, you know, a more singularly focused goal, outcome, or whatever you put it. Like for us, it was going from GC into roofing and exteriors. Way easier to do all that. Way easier for somebody like you to come in and set up our chart of accounts, right? Way easier to build relationships with suppliers. Way easier to build relationships with crews and labor. It was hard to like kind of like accept the fact that, oh, I'm saying no to, you know, hundreds of thousands of work, but yeah, but that work's not profitable. And in that amount of time, I could produce 10x what actually is profitable, right? Yeah. And then another thing too was like the pride around it. Like my identity for so long was being a craftsman, right? And I needed to switch my mindset from like, listen, I got people that count on me now. I have got, my guys have families. Like, I need to switch my thinking, my mindset around, I'm no longer a hammer swinger. Like, that's not me anymore, right? I am a business owner and a CEO, and I need to
make that shift.
I need to make that shift. That was stressful, dude. Because it's hard to say no, like I said, when, you know, you got bills mounting up and you're gambling on, you're taking a gamble. I don't know if it's necessarily on yourself, but like you're gambling with
sure,
not just yourself, but other people that count on you, man. And you know me, that's almost more important to me than how good I do. Right. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, definitely a people focused person, which is another strong attribute that if you put that at the focal point, you usually have good success. So keep listening off. What are some of the other things that you in that period of time went through?
As far as like stressful,
yeah, just stressful anything you feel like time? Was the darkest moments for you in your entrepreneurial journey. And I know we still every day battle the thoughts here and there of, you know, I think you're probably better about, you surround yourself with people that believe in you, both internally and then people like me. Like I believe in you heavily. Yeah. I know that probably helps a bit to the elevation of your entrepreneurial growth. But I'm just saying, like, what have been some of the dark moments for you that you feel like are like, I mean, not just, hey, we, you know, it's gonna be tight to get to payroll this week or whatever. Like those things are, you know, things that we all experience. I'm just saying, like, what are some key moments that you feel like as you kind of travel back in time and look at 2012 to now, to, you know, recently?
Seems like a lifetime ago. Should I have quit my job? I made great money, you know what I mean? And I could do this on the side, but like my body was breaking down and everything like that. And I was a young guy, dude, and I having trouble standing up straight. Yeah. From waking up from bed, but like, should I have done that? I'm married. I got a family. Did I make the right decision? I got all these people that believed in me and came along with me. So that's more of like, that was like, hey, I can't quit. Like, there's no quit. And like, there's no quit in me. But like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't care who you are. You know, Michael Jordan thought about quitting a couple times. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, it's just that. And you know, being afraid of failing, like, you know, and like, coming from a small town outside of Pittsburgh, everybody knows us, you know, everybody knows my old man and what he did. And like, am I going to be able to carry that on? And thankfully, you know, I've proven that I can. Sacrificing my personal income and quality of life so that my people would be all right. So they weren't like, oh shit, what did I hitch my wagon to this loser mm-hmm. for? Right. You know what I mean? And then just persevering. And like, my wife is like was like my therapist through those years. Like, I know guys who say, like, oh, you shouldn't talk to your wife about that. Dude, if I didn't have my wife to bounce ideas off of or talk me out of, you know, off ledges, you know, theoretically,
or maybe literally,
hypothetically,
off the bridge out in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
here.
Right. Like, I wouldn't have made it. Like, I just wouldn't have. Like, yeah. So I think that's huge. And then my team, like Chuck, who's our operations
manager. That's one thing I would say has been a big difference for you than a lot of other companies. If you had a best friend that you grew up with, that knew you, that trusted you, that came along early and has been with you for how many years?
Since 2012, man.
Yeah.
He came on and we were swinging the hammer. And then when I told him, hey, man, we need to change some things. I trust you, dude. Whatever you do, I'm in. I'll give it my all. Like, you know, I couldn't give him more credit. But, there's so many different stressful moments, man. Bad customers, jobs underbid or whatever that I bid. Like, because I didn't bid work until I had to, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then you just, looking back on it now, I'm thankful for it, right? But when you're going through it, you're like, holy shit, man, when is this ever, am I ever going to get this figured out, right? But then, you know, if you're built for it, right, which it's not for everybody because it is stressful, you learn from those things and you never repeat them and you learn and you just keep evolving and pushing forward. And thank God I did, man, because the last 2 to 3 years, things really snowballed, especially last year.
Yeah, yeah. If you had to give anybody advice that is in that period of time, and like, because you went through that for, I mean, like, I think about that sometimes. I'm like, 2012, like, dog, I was like in college,
yeah,
like getting, you know, squared away with my degree. I know we went two different paths, you know, kind of met to the same place, but I mean, and then, you know, you think about where things are now and looking at a year, last year, you know, we talked about 13 million top line and, you know, obviously with that, like taking a company, and I don't ever feel like, obviously last year was a big stretch to the company and to you.
Yeah.
That was by effects of the environment. There was a storm here last year, but even without that, the company was projected to grow. I mean, it had been historically growing like 100-200%, you know what I mean? Like from the time that you broke that million, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it was like 2.9 and then 5 and then, you know, whatever it was. I mean, you know, and then we have the big year. So 7 and then 10 or whatever it was. All that to say.
Yep.
What would be the, what would be your thoughts encapsulated that you say, hey, if you're in the thick of it, 12, 15 years of time is going to be going by and you're going to keep, I guess my real question is, how did you stay committed, focused, staying, you know, like just staying in it. I mean, and just being patient with, because I know it was stressful. I know there was weeks, months, years, it was stressful, right? Yeah. So the question is just how did you go through that with the mindset of just keep moving it forward one day, you know, one day at a time, one foot in another and one foot in front of the other. And then what would you say to somebody that's going through a period similar to you in that way, like where they're diving into a business, they're a decade deep and they still haven't seen it produce real fruits yet. And then they get to your 14, 15, 16. And now all of a sudden it's like, you know, what your experience here, whatever. I'm saying, what would you say to that person? And what was your mindset through all that?
Just be stubborn as hell. No. So for me, what I would say is if you're coming from whatever you are, if it's a baker, law firm, dentist, whatever, take the amount of time that you took learning your craft and becoming the best at whatever that is, right? Whatever the business is, the trade is, craft, whatever it is, and take small chunks of that and actually learn how to run a business. That's when things started to change for me, is when I, you know, seek the help, do it on your own, whatever it is, right? It's way faster with help. But put as much time as you put into being a blacksmith or a welder or, like I said, a dentist, a photographer,
whatever,
yeah, whatever that craft is, yeah, whatever the craft is, and then take little pieces away from that and spend more time instead of looking at the coolest new power saw and a fancy way to set tile or a new sourdough bread recipe or whatever the deal is. Take that time that you're spending on that and actually work on the business and improve yourself. Like, you have to, your business is only going to grow as much as you grow yourself, I think. And you have to work on yourself and you have to fill in the gaps of the things that you don't know and things that you're not capable of learning or that are beyond you. Either get help or hire for those people when you can, when you can afford it. But you have to get yourself to a point where you have enough capital to be able to bring on that, either that help, which is not free, right? Mm-hmm. Or that personnel that you need. But you have to spend time actually learning how to run a business and how to manage people and manage customers and all those things. That's probably the advice I would give. And don't give up, man. If you believe in yourself and you got good people behind you and a wife, friends, a team, a mentor, whatever, don't give up, because that breakthrough could be just right beyond where you gave up.
Yep. You said it so many times this year. You're like, I can't even believe this is real.
I couldn't, man. I still can't when I think about it. I still can't. Not because I never thought it was capable or whatever. It was just such a grind of like just being patient and just doing it. And like sometimes, man, being patient sucks and you just want to break. You know what I mean? Well, that only comes to people that are patient and do the right thing, So.
And then it just hit. It hit good and 21 better than it ever had, at least from the top line perspective. Still wasn't super profitable, but then 22 went and it was like, dude. And it was like, I'll never forget, you're like, this is crazy. It was like 2.9 million like that.
Couldn't believe it, man.
And then it was just one after the other. And then we look up and it's 13 million. And yeah, did you get stretched this year? And did your team get stretched? And all the things that we did both together in our relationship and then what you guys handled internally. I mean, a lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of, but I think you also had, what did you learn the most of this year? I want to ask you that. I think I know what you learned the most, but I want to know what you learned the most from this year, from being stretched the way you were.
Number one would have been, if we did not have systems built before we were at this level to facilitate the level that we hit this year, I would have been way more stressed. I would have made way less money. I'd have probably
lost people along the way.
Yeah. I would have got bad reviews. I would have ruined the reputation. Like, you have to be equipped from fundamentally in order to take on that influx of business.
Financially, operationally, the CRM, everything, documentation, the onboard, everything.
Everything from
marketing, where you're putting your dollars, to the guys that are running the appointments, to how they're going to, set up the estimating and all. Yeah. I mean, it's been a lot of work you've done leading up to this point. It wasn't like you just hit it and hit it hard and hit it strong and got lucky. I mean, it was a lot of work to build it. So that's one thing. What's another thing that you took away, you think?
It's okay to take a step back every once in a while. You cannot, you literally, it is real to burn yourself completely out. That's a lot of things, a lot of the conversations we had this year on a personal level were just like, dude, I don't think I can do this anymore. But all these people, and you were like, hey, man, it's okay to take some time for yourself. Like, you have to decompress at some certain point. Before I reached, I thought I knew what burnout was, man, before this, just the front, working nights, working on implementing things and all the things, right? But
this is true physical and mental.
Until this year, I'm telling you, I didn't know what it was. It was real. It was physical. It was everything, dude. It was a lot. It was a lot. And then also being able to, be the type of leader if you care about your people, you can't be selfish in that. You got to be like, hey guys, listen, I'm proud of everybody, guys and girls. I'm proud of everybody. You'll need to meet that adjuster on Saturday, man. You got your kid's baseball game? Go to your kid's baseball game. It's all right if we don't get that one. I care more about you than I care about getting another, $25,000 of revenue. So that, I think, going from being a hammer swinger to a business owner is the leadership part of it is overlooked, I think. We can get lost in the numbers and the data and all the things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, man, your people are your biggest asset. That is 100% the truth. And you need to lead from the front, show them what hard work looks like, but also let them know it's okay to take time for you. Like, you're not a pussy if you take a break.
And you're not I used to think that.
I used to be like, I got to be the hardest grinding guy or I'm not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I would say that that was going to be the thing that I was going to say. I've seen a lot of growth in you as leadership from the standpoint of what I feel like you learned the most this year. I don't think it was how to sell something better, how to market better, how to set up the systems better. I mean, we obviously have had a lot of time together over that 21 to 24, 23, 24 period, I would say. I would say the first 2 years were like definitely the biggest moves in that game for you.
Yeah.
And then by the time 24 came around, a lot of that had been established. Then we just added a handful more people, right, in 24. And then 25 was like, oh my gosh, we're having to really rely on those systems. And I don't think that's where you grew the most. I think it was in your leadership and in your, when we had those conversations, and the only reason I can speak to that is because I landed myself in a hospital in August of 24, and you know that. So, yeah. I mean, I was like, Sean, let me put this in perspective for you. When we had those hard when you're like, dude, I'm literally on the brink. Like, I am about to lose it, right? Yeah. And it was nothing to do with, like, particular people or systems breaking.
It's just overwhelmed.
It's just like, there is so much business coming in the door, and, like, we are trying to hire for what we took in this influx and all the things that all these things that happened, right? And I remember talking you off the ledge about that stuff a lot this year too.
Oh yeah.
But I saw a shift dramatically after we had some of those conversations because I could sense that you're like, listen, man, I know what I stand for. I know the values I have. I know the people that I have. I know that we're going to deliver on the best product, create the best customer experience, you know, do our customer communication right and, you know, sell things the right way and produce things the right way, all the things, right, that you could do in terms of, you know, serving the community well. And you were like, if I don't do everything exactly perfect and it doesn't go exactly the right way and something gets missed or I have to take time or I have to do those things, then, like, it's just burgers and fries, bro. Like, at the restaurant, you say, I remember telling you that. Like, in the restaurant biz, it's like, remember, when a customer gets pissed off or something happens, like, obviously, roofs are a little bit more important than, you know, burgers and fries.
Big Mac, yeah.
But we talk about that more on the basis of just, like, reanalyzing and recompartmentalizing or reapproaching the conversation as, like, listen, unless the roof is open and water is pouring in, it can wait for Monday. Right. Whenever you would be stressed about some things or some things happening. And that's happened a lot in my growth. And I'm not saying there aren't seasons, like, just as recent as, you know, over the last 6 to 8 weeks, end of year, we're filming this in January of 26. So, I mean, end of year this year and then start of year this year has been jammed freaking packed for me and very busy. And I have been pulling a lot of late nights. And some of those nights I could have maybe taken off a few extra hours early, but you and I, we both kind of have a similar principle, and I've talked about this personally, is like, you got to grind and go hard and go fast and do the work and then take the time and take the time with your family and completely disconnect and tell your team that you'll be there and you're there if it's an emergency situation. But if it is not something, it's absolutely emergency, I have to take this week with my family. It is the absolute most important thing for me to be able to get back in the right mindset and come back ready to go. You know what I mean? And those things you grew a lot with this year because you had to, one, and two, you took, what I mean by that, you didn't have to, I guess, you learned to do that because you had to given the circumstance. And if you didn't do that, then you would have been nervous wrecking all the way through the process. I mean, you very much took on the mindset of just like, what I feel like you grew the most in is like taking it in stride. It was like, listen, man, I'm gonna do the absolute damnedest best that I can, but the reality situation is like, I'm okay. Like, we're just gonna have to sit and do what we do. You know, we're still gonna produce a million a month, but hey, man, the backlog's 3 million. I'm gonna have to just do what I gotta do, and we'll keep producing it, and we'll keep getting through it, and we'll make sure that we're taking care of our customers. And listen, if we piss one off, we'll take care of it and I'll make it right. And like, I just have that mindset of it's going to be okay. And I feel like that was from my perspective, the biggest growth in you this year.
Yeah, you're probably right. Another aspect of that too, is what I should have mentioned earlier, is what you just said, making me think about that, is you got to let go of some control, right? You have to trust your people. And that was hard for me. That was probably just as hard as switching from, you know, switching mindset from trades to owner. Yeah. But like, you know, my guys would see me stressed out and everything like that. And they'd be like, hey man, you need to take this weekend and don't answer your phone. And, you know, that's huge, right? To be able to have people that you can trust, and then not only trust, but like they're capable, if not more capable at what they do than you are. Like, you got to let go of that control, and you got to let them know that the same thing applies to them, right? Like, you do the same, man. If I'm going to do it, you're going to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So
it's a good principle.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're coming towards our close. So what do you feel like is, other than us cracking jokes and having a good time? By the way, for those of you watching, we are wearing our, I'm looking at the screen right there. We look a little goofy with our hats on like this, but it was because the lighting was not going to be good. So if you see this, like, oh goodness, it looks crazy. Can't believe my hair's been like that the whole time. But you wouldn't want to see what it looks like. I mean, look at this. This is, I guess it's not too bad. I kind of look
not bad.
I look
man.
A little GQ. Bro. Look at that. Yeah. Look at you. Take that hat off. Let me see that fresh.
You want to see that?
Oh, that, look at
that silver hair.
Woo! All right. No, I mean, what are your final thoughts of, I guess, just final remarks to leave around all of this that's business related, and then we'll kind of wrap out with just, you know, next steps, personal goals, business goals this year, whatever is kind of on your mind. But I mean, is there anything else that we haven't gotten into you feel like is real, raw, and unfiltered about the Sean Whalen story? As raw, now we you know, we're keep it professional.
Keep it PG-13.
All right. No, I mean, you're a straight and narrow guy. It's clear just from the interview. But I mean, like, is there anything that's been outside the bounds of what we talked about that you're like, man, this really, even if it bled in a little bit of personal of just like, I know we've talked about your dad dynamic with that, you know, that seems to be it's good, you know, dad.
It's as good as that relationship can get, right?
No, and I don't mean that by like you have a bad relationship. I just mean that, like, you know, he did his work. He's been involved. You know, he's phasing out day by day, little by little, you know, more and more, right? And so I guess, is there just anything that, either if it bleeds onto the personal side of things or even this family-related stuff that you would say, like, leaving your final thoughts on there?
Yeah, I guess I would say as much dedication as it takes and sell and sacrifice, right? Like, what, in many different ways, right? Financially, right? You have to sacrifice. Like, you can't live the life of a millionaire before you are one, right? Or not that I am or anything like that, but like, you can't, if you're gonna do it, then you might as well have everything be authentic, right? It can't be for show. You can't get yourself in a hole because you want other people to think you're successful, right? That's shallow, and that means absolutely nothing. What means the most is true success. And to me, you shouldn't become an entrepreneur and have people under your employ if success is just focused on you, right? You need to care about your people, and as much as you need to work on yourself and grow yourself, because you have to do that before your business will grow. You just have to be a sponge. Like, if, for me, at least personally, like, yeah, a little bit of luck helps, right? But that luck only helps if you can capitalize on it, and you can only capitalize on it if you're equipped to, right? So if you don't grow yourself, your skill set, your knowledge, you know, your leadership skills, your humility, whatever it is, your personality, then your business is going to be, is always going to be stifled or limited by that. But you should go into business with the intention of you want to help people, and you want to help the people that are in your circle. You want to help your customers with the service that you provide. You want to help your community. And you can't do that unless you're profitable, right? So you have to, like, profit is not one thing that was hard for me to get around to. Like, when I first started,
we talked about this actually this weekend,
selling,
or this week.
Yeah, like when I actually started having to sell and everything like that, but like, was like, profit is not a bad word, man.
No,
we're not in this for practice, right? And you can't help yourself. You can't help you. You cannot make an impact, a positive impact in any way if you are broke. So you got to take care of that, right? You got to take care of your people, and you just got to have a, you got to, if you're going to go this journey, because there are plenty of times where it sucks, and I would rather jump in the Allegheny River right now as it's 30 degrees outside than go have this hard conversation with this customer or, you know, deal with a Terry, right? But we'll leave that. We'll leave that as an inside joke. Yeah.
That's we've had a fun job with a particular individual. He's very intentional about his work. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. He's very intentional about making sure the job gets done right. But yeah. Sean knows how to get the job done.
But lost my train of thought.
No, yeah. So
Terry. Got me drifting.
Terry got you drifting, dog.
Psycho stare I'm about to start doing.
Staring out of the abyss, yeah. Just thinking.
Staring viewers.
As we wrap up, though, no, one thing I was going to say with that is it's funny because yesterday, you were like, I remember when I was like, no, I'm not going to charge for that. And then we were talking.
Oh, yeah, that's what you're talking about.
And
yeah.
you were like, yeah, dude, we're marking that.
If I look at it, we're charging for it. Yeah. But
yeah. And that's not a bad, I mean, obviously you don't, we say that facetiously, joking.
To an extent.
But it's like, it's true. It's like, if you got your time and energy invested in something with your knowledge and your, you know, it's just, it goes both ways. It's just like for even me, I mean,
absolutely.
It's like, I don't, you know, I want to always do the absolute most for people. But final thing. Next steps for you and just where you see things shaking out, and then we'll take this to a close.
Just hopefully continue down the path of growth, doing the right thing, providing an opportunity for, you know, more people in our community. If you're in the Pittsburgh area and you're looking for a job, you can call Wayland Exteriors.
Call Wayland Exteriors.
But, yeah, I mean, just doing that and just – I feel like now, like, finally – after the crazy year came to a close, and there's actually, like, you know, it was what I always dreamed of, right? That the final, you know, the outcome of everything. I was able to take a breath and actually, like, reflect a little bit and actually be proud of what we did. That's another important thing, man. I feel like you gotta
do a good job of that.
You gotta give yourself some credit.
But you do a good job of that. I think that's, and I'm not saying it comes easy to you, but like, I know I've reminded you a few times, like, dude, you need to realize how far you've come.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, man.
It's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah. But you're in a position now where you're like, yeah, you make that intentional to like say, hey, man, like, take some time to reflect and be thankful to God, thankful to your people, thankful to you, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. But next steps, other than just growing the business and continuing to do right by our customers and my people. One passion of mine is I would like to bring a little more exposure to how lucrative for young people to get into the trades could be. So I'd like to maybe partner with the local vocational schools around here, or maybe get them a little early because they've already made their mind up there. But like, college ain't the right path for everybody, man, and you can make a good life. So I'd like to maybe...
You've already made some investment in time doing that,
though. Yeah, but there's more through
saying.
The vocational schools. I like to get them a little bit younger than that, man. If you find that kid who can't sit still and, you know, still intelligent, like, it's okay, man. You can go out and you can bang wrenches together and make more money than somebody who's, you know, went to college for 4 years and is in $80,000 worth of debt. There's no stigma around it. Like, there shouldn't be anyways.
No, anymore these days it shouldn't be. At least, especially with the amount of debt people take on to be able to go through school like that. So, yeah.
So I'd like to do something like that.
Love it. Well,
thanks,
it's
brother.
It's 1,000 degrees in
it
here.
It is. I was going to say it like
but
three,
listen,
three or four
times.
But
listen, the studio's real nice. We're in Pittsburgh. It's really cool. I said keel.
Did you hear me?
That's keel, man. That's a keel.
Sounded like a guy behind us at the Steeler game. Yeah.
Gus Steelers.
Kidding, guys.
Yeah.
We were like.
Yeah, we did, though. It was so funny because when that happened, we both like side-eyed each other. Then he was like, guys, I'm just kidding.
He added a little extra bass to his voice.
He did.
Like, I'm kidding, guys. No. Take it easy.
Well, if you enjoyed the episode, obviously we like to have a good time. And I hope that you enjoyed listening to this, the real life entrepreneur of Sean Whalen and his story, and something that I feel like is something I can take away from. I know that many of you that are watching can take away something from this as well. Nothing really more for me to add other than just say, like, good dude, great, you know, first and foremost, like, friend, husband, father, great business owner. I know I've been, you know, this isn't just to cheese you up. I mean it, like, just one thing about Sean is like being a good dude, doing the right thing. And like, it's not really a lot of fancy work. It's pretty much just like doing it. And it's, I think that's
blocking and tackling,
like,
man.
Blocking and tackling. And I think that's the thing that really sticks out to me the most. And we learn, you know, from when I learn from him, and when we get to work together, and it's really it's a pleasure, dude. So I hope
Thanks, brother.
I know that
appreciate you.
At some point in time, there'll be time where hopefully not, hopefully we find other, you know, opportunities to work together. But I mean, obviously we've been together for working on things for 4-5 years now. So, but we're wrapping up, and we appreciate you guys. If you haven't already, again, like and subscribe to the content, leave comments, let us know what you think. Thanks again for checking out this week's episode of No Suits Allowed, and we will see you next time.